JC Corcoran Podcast.
With a flash out of Fordham, they knocked in runs and scored them. The Gas House Gang was full of fight and nerve. The Redbirds were the rage, the wild horse of the Osage. And Paul and Dizzy were keeping them busy with heat and curves. I'm talking baseball. Hornsby, Haynes, and Ripper. Cardinal
baseball.
Leo was the limber. Ducky country red. Kurowski too. Slats, he had that golden glove of blue. I'm talking baseball. Baseball in St. Louis. With that man, no one could match him. Mort pitching, Walker catching. St. Louis was another Cooper's town. Rookies of the year, Bill and Wally started here. Brock on the run, the Cardinals won and were pan and bound. I'm talking baseball. Javier and Carlton, Cardinal baseball. Billy White and Washburn, Boyer Grote and Kurt McCarver too. Cepeda was an MVP, it's true. I'm talking baseball. Baseball in St. Louis. Now this town on the Mississippi is handy with the blues. And the king of beers is right at home, where Gibson made the hitters moan. 17 went down in just one fall. Now Gibby's in the hall. Cardinals have tradition. Each year they have a mission to end up in the classic in the fall. New names join the old, another team unfolds. The Cards look mighty, they're managed by Whitey, so let's play ball.
I'm talking baseball.
Hendrick, Keith, Hernandez, Cardinal
baseball.
Oberg, Fell, and Sanchez. Darryl Forsh and Tommy Suter too. Ozzie deals, the Cards are coming through. Talking baseball, baseball in St. Louis. Talking baseball, baseball in St. Louis.
The man, the man, the man.
Cardinal baseball, baseball in St. Louis.
The man.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, May 1st, 2023, you are at jcontheline.com. How you doing, folks? Windy, 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 and not warm enough. Come on. Now, Dave seems to think that in about 2 weeks, there's going to be like a master switch that's going to be thrown, and it's going to go from really sort of, you know, disappointing weather, I guess you would say, to summer. And, you know, that happens a lot in St. Louis. It's freezing ass cold. It's like 2 weeks away, you know, mid-May, and it's 2 weeks away from the pools opening. You're like, how are they ever going to open the pools, for God's sakes? And then all of a sudden, bango, it's 93, and all of a sudden it just turns into summer, and spring just seems to go by the by. All right, well, of course, the big story that you've been hearing about now for almost 24 hours is the passing of Mike Shannon, and we're going to get to that a little bit later on. You've got to think that there will be some sort of ceremony prior to the game tomorrow night. The Cardinals have the night off tonight. And by the way, Shohei Ohtani is going to be in town, and they're, you know, he's probably going to end up a free agent, maybe even before the end of this year, probably before the end of this year. And the World Baseball Classic, Lars Nootbaar was working him over, talking about, oh, you would love St. Louis. You would love St. Louis. So it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to be a big, big, giant check. But But if he comes to the plate tomorrow night and the fans at Busch Stadium give him a rousing welcome, you know, that might do some good. You know, we don't know. It wouldn't hurt, let's put it that way. Anyhow, the Mike Shannon thing we'll get to at the end of today's podcast. Friday night, Apple TV. Man, is that annoying. That is, when you can't go to, I'm paying for the Major League Baseball package, a couple $100 a year. And even though I have the Major League Baseball package, Friday night, I couldn't watch the game the way I normally would. I had to go to Apple TV Plus just like everybody else. And I'll tell you what else is that they got a couple of things that they do right. They use a high-definition camera, sort of like a 3D effect thing. And it's like the old days. You know, you talk about the 40s and even into the 50s. You have photographers who were right on the field. They were like in the on-deck circle. Guy hit a home run. The guy would run over to a home plate with the camera and get a shot. This was before all the telephoto lenses. And also, I guess there were a couple of foul balls that almost, you know, decapitated some of these photographers. And who needs that, right? They had a guy out there. I thought that was cool. But almost every other aspect of the Apple TV Plus presentation Friday night really annoyed me. And I'll tell you what else. After every pitch in the lower right-hand corner, you probably saw this too. I don't know if it bugged you as much as it bugged me. They go to the sabermetrics and a guy takes a swing and a miss. And all of a sudden it's like, you now have a 19% chance of getting on base. Another pitch. Now you have a 24% chance of getting on base. And then the next guy would come up and go, oh, he only has about a 7% chance of getting an RBI here. It's like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Can I just watch the fucking game? Of course, stats are important. But you know what? Eat a hot dog. Have a beer. Talk baseball to the guy in the seat next to you. I swear to God, these people running Major League Baseball are hell-bent on the idea of ruining the game. I swear to God, in 5 years, you're going to look out on the field, and the players are all going to be holding iPads. Cardinals are 10-19. Is it time to panic? No, I don't think so. Is it time to be concerned? Absolutely, you should be concerned. People are saying, oh, just calm down. There's nothing to worry about. Oh, no, I think there's plenty to worry about. The question is, why is this happening? Because people want to take the easy way out, fire Mozeliak, fire Ollie. Ollie Marmol is not out there on the mound serving up fat pitches when you're trying to stay in the game. You want to get rid of John Mozeliak? Fine. Who are you going to replace him with? And if you start really thinking about this, and I'm careful not to overthink this stuff because that's really easy to do, but you start looking and you're going, okay, on paper, there's no reason in the world that this team should be 10-19 and in last place, just like there's no reason the Pittsburgh Pirates should be in first place. And I think that's the thing to remember here. You get these weird little anomalies that happen early on in the season. We haven't had a no-hitter yet. You almost always have a no-hitter sometime in the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season because the pitchers have such an advantage over the hitters in most cases. And you almost always have a no-hitter sometime in the first couple of weeks. Haven't had one yet. Almost had one in Chicago the other day, but the catcher tackled the pitcher on a swinging bunt out in front of home plate. But you've probably seen that at least a couple of times already. So now you start looking around going, okay, well, why is this happening? What's wrong? Well, I think there's a couple of things you can point to. We're trying to play come-from-behind baseball a lot. We've had a lot of pitchers crash and burn in the first couple of innings, and it's 6-0 after 2 innings. I don't know what's going on with Miles Michaelis. And we're leaving too many men left on base, and there's been some stupid base running. I think Yadier Molina, and let me back up. Wilson Contreras is a very, very good catcher. I almost said great. I wouldn't go that far, but he's a very, very good catcher. And on balance, and at the end of the season, when the season's all over, you're going to look and you go, Wilson Contreras really did well. And, you know, you lose an iconic player like Yadier Molina, it's almost impossible to replace him. So you get the best player you can get, you stick him in there, and you hope for the best. And that's really all you can do. That's really all Wilson Contreras should be doing. And I hope that's how he's approaching this. But, you know, Yadi really had such a dramatic influence on everybody on the team. And during the game, there was no question as to what was going on and who the team leader was. And even if you were standing in left field, you knew that Yadi could see you. And if you weren't doing something right, or you were slouching, or something like that, you know that Yadi would come and talk to you about it. I just think Yadier Molina kept players on their toes. Now, taking into consideration the other team leader, Adam Wainwright, he hasn't been around as much as usual, certainly hasn't been pitching, and now he's going to go do a rehab assignment. I think it's either tomorrow night or Wednesday in Memphis, so he's not around. I think there's an issue here, perhaps, of team leadership, because now look around and ask yourself, who's the team leader, Arenado or Goldschmidt? Nah, they don't look like the kind of guys who are interested in having a lot of leadership responsibility. They seem very, very consumed by what they're doing, particularly offensively. And I think that's a good thing, by the way. So you look at guys like that, and I'm just not really sure that they're the ones. So, you know, maybe, just a guess. My daughter, who will be 14 this fall, went on her first cruise last week and got back yesterday. Talk about an eye-opening experience for a 13-year-old. You know how old I was when I took my first cruise? I think I was like 52. You know, she's 13. She's already been on a cruise. And it did get into discussion. We had a discussion last night, which is like, you know, your mom and I really are excited. We're very happy for the idea that you're getting to do so much more stuff than we got to do when we were kids. You know, we were not poor, but we didn't have a lot of money. And my wife's family, well, she came from a divorce situation, so they had even less money. So neither Francesca's mom or her dad, you know, had a lot of opportunities when we were kids. I knew one kid in the entire neighborhood who went to camp. We just thought it was like, wow, he went away to camp. And there were two kids in the neighborhood, and in this, when I say neighborhood, I'm talking about a pretty wide area here. You know, you get on your bike, you got to ride for 15 or 20 minutes, but there were only two kids in the neighborhood that had pools, a couple of above ground pools, and I would get invited once in a while. We didn't have any YMCA or anything like that around our house, so really, our time was spent, particularly in the summer, playing baseball, riding our bikes, and just trying not to get into too much trouble. But I think that's true of every parent. You want your children's lives to be better than the life that you had. But Jesus, a cruise. God, cost me nothing, by the way, because she was asked by one of her friends. So, and get this, we gave her $100. And then her aunt, my sister, gave her another 50. So she had $150 on this cruise. You know what she came back with? $150. So I guess when they say all inclusive, they mean it. And I said, well, didn't you want like a souvenir or a t-shirt or just, you know, something? She goes, well, some of the stuff was pretty expensive and I didn't want to spend the money. And if you're thinking what I'm thinking, you're way ahead of me. Now what do you do with $150? Just let her keep it? Or you go, no, that was cruise money. If you didn't spend the cruise money, well, it sort of goes back to mom and dad, maybe? I don't know how that's going to play. I don't know how that may not go over very well. But, you know, we'll see. It was on this date in 1997 that the David Letterman showed up at the studios of KMOV Channel 4. It was after he left NBC and was just getting ready to debut with the new show. Maybe 10 days they were on the road. Actually, come to think of it now, I'm thinking they did three cities a day. Maybe that's how they got it done in just a little over a week. I guess so. But he just picked out a bunch of affiliates and came in to visit and just basically said, you know, hi, it's Dave. So I had pictures taken and everything. I had, you know, conversations. It was very exciting. On this date, 1987, I was in Los Angeles interviewing. And again, I had only been doing the celebrity interview thing for TV for a couple of years. And now I'm sitting across from Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty. That's the good news. The bad news is the movie was called Ishtar, which has a very, very special place in the annals of movie history as being one of the biggest bombs in the history of film. But I still got a great interview with those guys, and we found out that Dustin Hoffman's nickname in high school was Little Hoffy, and Warren Beatty's nickname in high school was The Hawk. I don't think anybody else got that out of them. On this date, 1990, our first broadcast from Russia. And we were first, as I was talking about on Friday, and don't believe that bullshit generated by the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Delmar Gardens, KMOX, who tries to tell you that Bob Hardy did the first broadcast. No, he didn't. He called in on the phone a couple of times on the Friday before. We did. We were the only ones to do a whole show every day from the former Soviet Union. And over the years, I've talked about it. You've probably heard me say it. The Russian people were really, really welcoming and nice to us. Very, very curious, very inquisitive. Also wanted to show off what they knew about the United States of America. And some of it was pretty accurate and some of it was pretty funny. They thought Chuck Norris was, he was considered an athlete, like in the same breath as Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier or something like that. And we're like, oh, Chuck Norris, huh? That might even come as a surprise to Chuck. As you know, I've become a big fan of Roy Wood Jr. on The Daily Show, and turns out he's a much more interesting, and I would even go so far as to say fascinating guy than I ever thought. He used to do morning radio in Birmingham, Alabama, and his father started a thing, I think it was called like the Black News Network or something. And you know, he did not feel that the network services for radio, you know, like top of the hour, then almost all radio stations had some sort of national newscast that they would bring, you know, CBS radio. And then, you know, the smaller stations had other services for top of the hour news. And apparently Roy Wood Jr.'s dad, who worked in the broadcast industry back in the day when Roy was just a little kid, said, I think the black community is being serviced well enough, so I'm starting up my own network that's going to focus on black stories. And that thing just blossomed and apparently did very, very well. Roy Wood Jr.'s mom, as he was talking about at the White House Correspondents' Dinner the other night, worked in education her entire life. She was actually there. And although I'm a big fan of Desi Lydic, and I think she did a good job all last week hosting The Daily Show, I still think Roy Wood Jr., he just hit it totally out of the park during his week. And I hope that they don't overthink this like they did when they should have given the job to Samantha Bee after Jon Stewart retired from the show. I'm just telling you, he did really, really well. Now, we've seen people who are regarded as really good comedians completely crash and burn to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where people are just groaning and booing and the reception is not that great. And it's a tough gig. You got a bunch of stuffy journalists in tuxedos and, you know, prom dresses, and they're all half tanked. All of them are weighted down by their own sense of self-importance. And you're up there trying to tell jokes. So like I said, we've had people go in and out of there who really did not do that well. That was not the problem of Roy Wood Jr., because not only did he tell really, really great jokes, it was a good vibe. And then he got very, very serious about some things. So I picked out some of the highlights. Let's roll those now.
But y'all look good, though. I've been watching and looking around all night. Y'all look good. You dress nice. You got the nice threads on. You got the jewelry glistening. Look like everybody got a little piece of that settlement money from Fox News. And that's all I have to say about that, because I'm not going to have Dominion on my ass. I love Dominion. Matter of fact, let me just say right now, my favorite voting machine is Dominion voting machines. When I go to the polls, I make sure it is a Dominion machine that I use. If your election needs the truth, put Dominion in your booth. It's three people you don't want to see in a courtroom. That's Dominion, Cardi B, or Gwyneth Paltrow. You're going to lose. The untouchable Tucker Carlson is out of a job. Yeah. Okay. Some people celebrate it. But to Tucker's staff, I want you to know that I know what you're feeling. I work at The Daily Show, so I, too, have been blindsided by the sudden departure of the host of a fake news program. Speaking of assholes, Don Lemon is out of a job. Don Lemon released a statement saying he got fired from CNN. Then CNN released a statement saying that they offered Don a meeting. They had to part ways because Don Lemon can't even accurately report a story about Don Lemon. How funny is it that you work in the news, then watch on the news that you got fired from the news? Don Lemon is now the most obnoxious guy in the history of CNN. That's not fair. Even Jeffrey Toobin looking at Don Lemon like, ooh, he rubbed me the wrong way. Y'all jumped on that story. As soon as the Trump document story broke, everybody was down to Mar-a-Lago. We're reporting live from the documents, and we're gonna find them. And then we found out Joe Biden had documents too, and it was like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Everybody got documents. Everybody got documents. Mike Pence has some documents. Who cares about it? Ooh, look, a Chinese spy balloon. Would you look at that? Well done, media. Happy to be here. Very happy to be here.
And there was a clue last week because Roy Wood Jr. was interviewed by CBS, the morning show that they do with Gayle King, and he seemed to indicate that at some point during his routine that he was going to tackle some serious issues, and he did. And he did a good job, too.
But the industry that covers all of these scandals isn't immune to them themselves. The issue with good media is that most people can't afford that. All the essential, fair, and nuanced reporting, it's all stuck behind a paywall. People can't afford rent. People can't afford food, not healthy food. They can't afford an education. They damn sure can't afford to pay for the truth. And I understand that we have to put the stuff behind the paywall because creating the truth is important. People can't afford the truth, but you all can't afford to go find the truth for free. The work you do as journalists is important. It's essential. It's dangerous. My father was an embedded reporter on the front lines with black platoons in Vietnam. He was in the South African Soweto riots. He covered that. The Civil War in Rhodesia, which we know today as Zimbabwe. My father came back home and co-founded the National Black Network because he wanted to tell black stories. So it's American Urban Radio Networks now, and they've been doing it 50 years, and that's part of what my father wanted to build. You know, and I know it was hard because, you know, black daddies love telling you when something was difficult. They were shooting at me, boy, but I never dropped my tape recorder. My daddy tell war stories like Brian Williams. And if we can't figure out a way to pay local reporters, then as a country, we're only left with that many more blind spots to where the bull is happening. You hear about all these newsrooms getting cuts. That's every article that Tamara has been sending me the last 2 months. It's just the newsroom is getting cut. We're cutting people. We're cutting budgets. But you never hear about the multi-million dollar executives reducing their salaries within these organizations. Now, how do we fix this? I don't know. I'm a comedian. I was just up here. It's not my job to have the solution. That's on y'all. Thank you so much to the Correspondents Association. Thank you so much to Tamara Keith.
And of course, then it was the president's turn.
After all, I believe in the First Amendment. Not just because my good friend Jimmy Madison wrote it. Look, I hope the Fox News team finds this funny. My goal is to make them laugh as hard as CNN did when they read the settlement. But then again, CNN was like, wow, they actually have $787 million? Whoa.
And no, Joe Biden didn't write those jokes himself. They have comedy writers come in and help him write, but still, it's a pretty damn good delivery. So the White House Correspondents' Dinner did not disappoint the other night. All right, it is the month of May. You got the coronation of King Charles coming up this weekend. Oh, yeah. I'll be there bright and early with my hair up in curlers and my fuzzy slippers on watching that. But, you know, when Princess Di got married to Prince Charles, I knew women who were in radio sales back then, and they were having parties like 3 o'clock in the morning, come out over at 3 a.m., and they even put it on the local news. I think it was Channel 4 did the story about the fact that these women were having these big parties to watch this thing. I don't get it. I don't get it. In sports, the NBA, NHL playoffs, there's nothing more satisfying than watching Boston's Brad Marchand with that sad look on his face, with a little tear in his eye. The Boston Bruins blew it again this year. Got the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. Jeez, I forgot all about that. PGA Championship starts May 18th. French Open on the 22nd. Indy 500, of course, on the Memorial Day weekend, the 28th this year. Movies, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That opens wide this Friday. The 10th Fast and Furious movie comes out on the 19th. Disney's live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. That's on the 26th of May. On TV, MTV Movie and TV Awards, May 7th. America's Got Talent returns on the 30th. Arnold Schwarzenegger's first TV series, the Netflix spy comedy FUBAR, lands May 25th. It's his first TV series. And then you got a bunch of holidays. Cinco de Mayo coming up this weekend. Mother's Day on the 14th, Memorial Day on the 29th, Star Wars Day, May the 4th, be with you, National Eat What You Want Day on the 11th, National Mimosa Day on the 16th, National Hamburger Day on May 28th. We've heard of plant-based meat. You knew it was coming. An Israeli company has created the first ever 3D biologically printed fish fillet, which will be ready to cook upon printing. So you have a 3D bioprinter, and it's going to print you some fish. It's just starting to get weird. How'd you like to work for the Love Honey people? They're looking to pay 10 people $1,000 a year just to pleasure themselves and then post reviews of their products online. You'll be sent $250 worth of sex toys every month. $250 worth of sex toys every month. It's only $1,000 for the year, but I guess you would say there's perks attached. Ever leave behind anything in an Uber? You're not the only one. Happens all the time. Uber just released a list of the 10 things that people left behind the most over the past year. Clothing, phones, purses, backpacks, wallets, headphones, jewelry, keys, books, laptops, and watches. But on top of that, some of the things that make the top 10 list include a Danny DeVito Christmas ornament, a fog machine, an ankle monitor, a unicycle, 16 ounces of fake blood, a green foam Statue of Liberty crown, a lightsaber, a few hamsters, 6 cheesecakes, 2 fingernails, a bidet, rash cream, a pregnancy test, a slushy machine, a fake tooth, and somebody's paintings of their wife. And America now has more guns than people. There's an estimated 1.2 civilian firearms per person. No other country comes close to that. Saudi Arabia and Yemen, two countries not known for their integrity, are second and third, but we're number one. Saudi Arabia and Yemen both have less than half of what we have in the United States, roughly one gun for every two people. It was on this day 12 years ago in 2011. It was a Sunday night at about 7 o'clock. All of a sudden, bulletin, 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 and all the networks, all the 24-hour cable news channels, everybody went live. Why? Because the President of the United States was holding an emergency address to the nation. And nobody had any idea. Nobody was even close. Nobody had the slightest idea why he did this. And the speculation was a riot. And no, like I said, nobody was even close. And Barack Obama walked to the podium and said, "We got Osama bin Laden." And people were like, "Holy shit, really?" And it was almost a disaster because one of the helicopters that went and hit the wall with a blade and went down. And not only do you have the problem now of a disabled helicopter, but now all that technology, all that intelligence, all that software, all that stuff we don't want anybody else to know that we have, had to leave the helicopter behind. I guess they did a pretty good job of trashing the thing before they all jumped on the other helicopters and got the hell out. 1967, 32-year-old Elvis married 21-year-old Priscilla in Las Vegas. They separated in 71. Elvis filed for divorce in 73. Birthdays today. Jamie Dornan, the guy from 50 Shades of Grey, is 41. Julie Benz, who played Dexter's wife on that show, 51. Very, very attractive woman. Wes Anderson, Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums, great movie director, 54. Tim McGraw, 56. Ray Parker Jr., as in who you're going to call, Ghostbusters, 69. Rita Coolidge, 78. Steve Martin and Martin Short announced season 3 of Only Murders in the Building will premiere on August 8th. John Mulaney said he turned down hosting The Daily Show after Jon Stewart left. And we love our rock and roll, and we love paying homage to it, and that's why we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, especially in recent years, I just don't know who or why or what anymore. You know, every year they announce the nominees, and I don't know, it's like, I don't know, like 6,000 people or something get to vote on this thing, and then the public also gets to vote. But our vote only counts for one of those like 6,000 votes. So that doesn't really help a lot. And when you take into consideration bands that year after year have been snubbed, what the hell did Ian Anderson ever do to anybody? Jethro Tull, still not in. Joe Cocker, still not in. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, still not in. Bad Company, the Guess Who. So who have we been told that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan vote winner was? George Michael. Thanks for nothing.
These are some of the things that he's actually said.
Oh, really?
On the air.
I love Mike Shannon.
About what made Whitey Herzog such an exceptional manager. The key thing is he has a photogenic mind. On the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, it doesn't matter if they're home or away or vice versa. After hearing Jose Oquendo's family was settling into St. Louis, he's going to make his winter home here year-round. On a batter being called out on strikes, he knew he was out when he heard that right hand go up. Following a line out to first base, the Giants just got a taste of the medicine they've been enjoying all day. On a 1-0 lead at Wrigley Field, one run in this ballpark is like a grain of salt in the Sahara Desert. Once he said, it was raining so hard I thought it was going to stop. And finally, you can't argue with the weather.
One time I heard him say, all right, let's review the sequence of events in no particular order.
Hewlett was telling me that he was talking about Jordan and Langford, and he said, these guys are a one-man wrecking crew. And then he paused for a minute and said, together.
Yeah, the best one I remember was from when they were in New York. It was a full moon, and Mike Shannon said, boy, I wish you folks in St. Louis could see this. We can, Mike.
You know, we almost lost Mike Shannon 3.5 years ago. He had COVID real bad, was in the hospital for 15 days, said that he thought he was going to die from COVID. He was not at the opening day ceremonies a couple of weeks ago. Neither was Tony La Russa, by the way. But when Shannon wasn't there, I noticed it right away. I didn't really want to say anything. A lot of people referring to Mike Shannon as the best all-around athlete who came from St. Louis. They got to be careful on that because Jackie Joyner Kersee might have something to say about that. But certainly the best all-around male athlete from St. Louis, Mike Shannon himself. We had lots of laughs on Mike's account. I don't think it is at all an exaggeration to say that he was beloved. Even the people who thought he was a knucklehead and drunk by the third inning still would probably agree that he was one of our icons here in St. Louis.
Albert digs back in. Open stance, deep in the box. Bends at the knee. Pulls it down on the end. Lig is ready. With two on and two out, his 0-1 pitch, it's coming. Swing and a long one, there it is, baby. The Cardinals take the lead as Albert Pujols comes through in the pit. And the Redbirds lead this baby 5-4. What'd I tell you, folks? David Eckstein, the man. This could be a crushing blow to the Houston club. Albert Pujols, you talk about a most valuable player. How is that? Woo! That thing left the ballpark in a hurry. A three-run home run, and the Cardinals lead 5-4.
Checks. Brummer stealing home. He is safe, and the Cardinals win. Brummer stole home. The dugout comes out, and they congratulate him. You wouldn't believe it.
Mike Shannon just recently celebrated 50 years in the Cardinal organization. When you think of a St. Louis athlete who has done more, accomplished more, had more success in his own hometown, you can't think of one other than Mike Shannon. He went to CBC High School, starred there as an athlete, went to the University of Missouri, starred there as an athlete, mm-hmm. goes to the hometown baseball team, wins two World Series, and then becomes the announcer and has been doing that for a whole bunch of years. Mike, when you look back at it all, isn't it hard to believe that it all worked out so perfectly like that?
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, I can still remember the day that I signed, and it has gone 50 years so fast. I can't tell you how fast it's gone, but I'm so fortunate to be, you know, to have all of that happen to me.
Yes, it's been a fantastic ride, and of course, you have many years to go yet, sir. I hope.
Well, as I said that night that the Cardinals were so kind to honor me on my 50 years, I don't know whether it's going to be 5 minutes or 50 seconds, but I'm going to have fun with it, and I hope that everyone around me will do the same. And that's what life is all about. You need to relax. You need to enjoy it. You need to just step back just a minute and take a look at your family, your kids, your loved ones, and not only that, but enjoy yourself, okay?